Appreciate that so much. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Book of Matthew, chapter 19. In the first part of chapter 19, Jesus had been teaching about marriage and divorce. Then in two verses, verses 11 and 12, he briefly touches on celibacy. And while Jesus is teaching, there's an incident that occurs right there in front of Jesus. Follow as I read Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. It was a Jewish tradition to bring small children to the teacher or to the rabbi so he could lay his hands on their head or on their shoulders and speak a blessing to them and pray for them. It was also common for parents to take their children to the synagogue where the elders would pray for the children. That's where we get a similar practice that many churches still commemorate with baby dedication or a children's commitment service. But as these parents were bringing their children to Jesus, note what the scripture says happened in verse 13. It says, then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. That word rebuke means to express sharp disapproval of one's actions. Going a little deeper, it means that the disciples criticized or scolded the parents because of their actions, because they were bringing their children to Jesus. Apparently, the disciples felt Jesus' time was way too valuable to spend on little children. Jesus, in turn, rebuked the disciples for their attitude and for their actions regarding the children. He told the disciples in no uncertain terms that the little children were what the kingdom of heaven was all about. In verse 14, it says, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." For such is the kingdom of heaven. Here's what I think he meant. Children do not have to become adults in order to be saved, but adults have to have some childlike characteristics like faith and dependency in order to be saved. Now, you might be here today and you might say, well, that word that you're talking about, saved, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. In church, you know, we sometimes use words that we're familiar with because, you know, we've been in church for a number of years and we kind of forget that there's other people who haven't been in church that long. But the word saved means delivered from sin, delivered from spiritual death. It means rescued from eternal punishment. And who can provide that deliverance? Who can rescue us? Well, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I've already said several times this morning, I'm grateful for each one of you who are here today. I love you in the Lord, and I thank God for every person here. Moms and dads and grandparents, if you have a child here or grandchildren here today, I want you to know that I'm especially grateful that they're here today and part of the ministry here at Lakeview. And for you kids who are still in here, I want you to know that Preacher Gary loves you. You've been a blessing to me today. You really have. And I appreciate you. Appreciate you coming and taking part today. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 15 is about children. But there's more to these two or three verses. And I want us to look at it briefly here this morning. First of all, there's a word about responsibility. This passage clearly reveals certain responsibilities that parents, and I believe grandparents too, because I'm a grandparent, and the church for that matter. I believe that we have a responsibility to children. We are responsible for evangelizing our children, for telling our children about Jesus. These children were being brought to Jesus so he could pray for them and pronounce a blessing on their lives. It was a teaching time on behalf of the parents for their children. The scene in Scripture teaches us that these parents cared about the spiritual condition of their children enough to bring them to Jesus. Going all the way back to the Old Testament, Bible-believing parents have always had the challenge of sharing good things with their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about God's commands and God's statutes and how they're to be observed. It talks about how we're to love God. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And listen carefully to the words in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, you're to speak Jesus into the life of your children. And then it picks up over in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Parents, you should do everything in your power to ensure that your children are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a very practical sense, it means that you're to bring them to church on a consistent basis. It means that you're to let them have the opportunity of being in preschool or children's Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It means giving them the opportunities of being a part of the Wednesday night children's ministry activities. And hey, it means praying for them and praying with them and letting them hear you pray for them. Reading the Bible with them at home. It means being open to them about your faith, about your love and your belief in God. It means being consistent in your own life as far as a Christian life is concerned. Preschool and children's teachers, it means that every time these children are in your midst, you should take the opportunity to share Jesus with them. The gospel of Jesus Christ should be preached every time this pulpit is open. But yet still the primary responsibility about teaching your child about Jesus rests on the shoulders of mom and dad. God has blessed you with these children, and you should tell them about Jesus. Let me take a couple minutes and just tell you about my daughter. She's not a little girl anymore. She's 43 years old. Her name is Misty. And you know, when Misty was young, we took her to church. We took her with us to church. We didn't bring her, leave her, and come back and get her. We all went to church. We all went to Sunday school together. And then after Sunday school was over, Misty would go into a designated area called Children's Church. And Debbie and I would go to the worship center for the worship service. Misty was exposed to teachings about Jesus at a very young age, through Sunday school, through children's church, through children's choir, through vacation Bible school in the summertime, through our family's prayer and Bible reading at night. Then one Sunday night, after we'd got home from church, Misty had been in church that day, we'd been in church that day. One Sunday night after we got home from church, Misty was in her bedroom. She was already in the bed. School was the next day. And we knew something was wrong. She was very agitated in her room. She called us into her room that night. And she said, "I want Jesus in my heart. I want Jesus in my heart." So my wife and I, we prayed with her. She prayed. She invited Jesus into her heart. And right there, on that Sunday night, in her bedroom, not at the altar in a church, but that Sunday night in her bedroom, she became a Christian. She's married now. She's got a great husband named Michael. Brother Wayne, you know Michael. Wayne hired Michael over at Convent years ago. Michael is a godly man. They have two sons, our grandchildren, Gavin and Justin. Gavin is our oldest grandson. He's a second semester junior at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, studying to be a children's pastor or a youth pastor. He has been teaching a children's Bible study in Greenville, South Carolina for the last 3 years since he's been down there at a church in Greenville. And this year he's serving as the chaplain of the society he's in. He's got the name, the nickname, Priest Gavin. I thought that was pretty good. Justin, our youngest grandson, he's involved in his youth ministry at church. Michael, our grandson that I mentioned a while ago, he's the assistant choir director at church, plays bass guitar, very involved. And Misty, our daughter, she leads the Wednesday night children's ministry at church. She works at Carolina Christian Academy in Lancaster, where she's the accounts supervisor there, accounts payable supervisor. She's also in her spare time, she's the athletics director at school, and that keeps her busy. But we're proud of her, and we're proud of her family. And I know you're proud of your family too. Well, what's the point of me telling you all about this? Well, here's the point. This is why I told you about my daughter and her family. When Misty got saved that Sunday night, my wife Debbie and I were in the room with her. But there was a whole lot of people involved that contributed to her coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Her pastor, Sunday school teachers that she had had in the past, children's church workers, children choir workers, vacation Bible school people, and I can't forget about her grandparents on the other side of her family, on both sides of her family. They were involved, her aunts and uncles, they were involved. They were all involved in watering this gospel seed that Debbie and I had planted in Misty's life since birth. All of these people helped contribute to watering and fertilizing that one gospel seed until that one Sunday night after church, when that seed matured and Misty became a Christian. And then following that, all the people who have helped her grow as a Christian, Sunday school workers and the youth division. And the list just keeps, you know, on and on and on, because of these people's willingness to serve and their faithfulness to God. All of these people, they were involved in her coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're involved right now in a ministry here at church or in another church. When people come to know the Lord, you've had a part in that. You've had a part in that. And I want this to encourage you, workers. It's not in vain that you spend time during the week studying and preparing and being on location at special events and things like that. It's not in vain. It's not a waste of time. It's an investment into the life of another person for the sole purpose of seeing that individual and men, women, boys, and girls after that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as they grow in the Lord and are under the sound of the gospel. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this. If you give your tithes and offerings to the church, you're also involved in seeing people come to know Jesus, because materials and supplies and activities are planned and carried out through the monies that you give. So, yes, children are a blessing from God. Parents and grandparents are a blessing from God. Sunday school teachers, children's workers, youth workers, you're a blessing from God. Individuals who support the church through their tithes and offerings, they are a blessing to God. It takes a whole lot of people. It takes a big church family, and everyone is important. Everyone is important. As I've already mentioned, I'm glad that you're here today. And I want to say a special thank you, along with Vicki, to all the people from Lakeview for what you're doing to reach people for Jesus. God has gifted you with some special talents and gifts, and that's important that you use them and be faithful about it. Parents, I want you to know that all the different people involved in the preschool ministry here at Lakeview that you saw down front a while ago. Every time your child's in their presence, their main responsibility is to love your child and to share Jesus with them. But again, make no mistake. The primary responsibility of teaching your child about Jesus rests upon your shoulders. Don't neglect that responsibility. We are responsible for evangelizing our children. In other words, for telling our children about Jesus. We're responsible for educating our children about Jesus, which is of equal importance. Now what's the difference between educating someone about Jesus and just telling someone about Jesus? Well, I kind of struggled with that this week. Not that I don't know the answer, but how do I explain it? Well, here it goes. You could tell or talk to a person about Jesus, and they may or may not understand or hear what you're saying. But when you're educating a person about Jesus, there's a certain element of receiving that information that comes into play. Absorbing that information, taking that information to heart, to your mind, and processing it, and then responding or acting on it. Both telling and proclaiming and educating are important. Just like those parents in the Bible times, believers today still have the responsibility of telling and educating and even modeling our faith so that the younger generation can see Jesus and that he is the most important person they can possibly have a relationship with. You know, if my faith doesn't match up with my walk, to use a modern day term, I'm just being a fake. It needs to match up. In Ephesians, that scripture that I read to you a while ago, where it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Back to word meanings again. That word nurture refers to the whole process of telling and educating a child about Jesus. Listen, it's not the public education's responsibility to see that your child comes to know Christ. It's not the duty of these workers, although they assume that responsibility. It's the duty of the parents to bring your child face to face with the Lord through the way you live your life, through your faithfulness to God, through your church attendance, through your participation in church activities, through your devotion to God, through daily Bible reading and prayer, and through direct communication about Jesus with your child. Listen, if we make much of Jesus in front of our children, they will more than likely come to him at an early age and remain faithful to him as they go through life. We are responsible for evangelizing, for telling our children about Jesus. We're responsible for educating our children. We're also responsible for encouraging our children. When these parents that I read about a while ago in Matthew's gospel, when these parents brought their children to Jesus, they were encouraging their children. They were telling their children, it's okay that you approach Jesus. The parents back in Ephesians 6:4, where it says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that word admonition carries with it the idea of encouragement. And we should seek the things of God for our children. We should seek God for ourselves, but we should seek the things of God for our children. And as parents, we should encourage our children to seek the things of God. We should teach them to pray. It's never too late or never too early to pray. And by the way, pray to not a God, but the God, the one and only God, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And they should hear you pray. And they should hear you pray for them. As I already mentioned, as the case with our daughter, we should bring them to church. Listen, you allow them to be exposed to things like TVs, computers, video games. Why not expose them to something godly, like the things that the local church has to offer? And here's a good word, too, for parents and grandparents alike. When your child or your children or your grandchildren see and know that you're in love with Jesus, That's going to encourage them to fall in love with Jesus too. And that influence will just stream right on down through your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. It's just a chain process there. So that's a word about responsibility. Let me briefly touch on this subject. What about redemption? While this passage in Matthew 19 certainly highlights adult responsibilities toward a child's spiritual foundation, it also relates to the matter of redemption or salvation. And the fact that the children here in Matthew chapter 19 were invited and encouraged to come to Jesus implies that children need Jesus. They need a Savior. In fact, we all need a Savior. Now, some of you may not like this. You may take it offensive. But listen, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. In fact, this whole world is made up of two different types of people. Sinners and sinners saved by the grace of God. Now you may ask, and here's some good information, listen. When can a child be saved? When can a teenager be saved? When can an adult be saved? When a person reaches a level of mental understanding regarding the nature of sin and its consequences, and they're able to make a decision for or against Jesus, they're at the age that they can be saved. When a person comes to the place where they understand the difference between right and wrong and can make those choices, then they can be saved. When a person comes to a place in their life when they realize they are a sinner, that's the Holy Spirit working in their life, and they can be saved. When that person understands that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead in order that they might have eternal life, that person can be saved. When a person knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way to receive eternal life, that's mentioned in John 3:16, and believing and trusting in Jesus, then that person can be saved. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul urges or expresses the urgency about doing that. Paul says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, the day, today is the day of salvation. You know, today, you could come to Jesus. We serve a gracious, loving Savior. He's ready with outstretched arms to receive you. Anyone who comes to Jesus can be saved. They can receive eternal life. They can receive the forgiveness of sin. And as I've already mentioned, this passage I read today, the base passage, emphasizes the special characteristics of a child that we have to have. We have to be dependent upon someone. We have to have faith in someone. We have to humble ourselves by acknowledging our sins before God. And we must be willing to admit that our works and our actions cannot save us, but only Jesus Christ can. A person must come to Jesus by faith, trusting Him that His finished work on the cross was just for them in order that they might have salvation and eternal life. So a word about responsibility, a word about redemption, and a closing word about the Redeemer. In this story that we read from Matthew 19, we see the heart of Jesus. We see His love and His compassion. The disciples thought Jesus was too busy for a bunch of children, you know? After the disciples rebuked the parents, Jesus rebuked them. And I think this is so interesting. Children can't serve like adults can. They can't even contribute money like adults can. But Jesus had a very special place in His heart for them. He had time for them. He loves them. And He reached out to them in mercy and in grace. And this should remind us that God is interested in us. He has time for us. He wants us to come to Him. Just like the parents brought the children, He wants us to come to Him. Jesus loves sinners. That's why He came to earth to die. And one other thing the story reveals too, and this is so neat. Jesus is personable. He laid his hands individually on every one of those children. He didn't just walk over to a group and just raise his hands up. No, he put his hands on each one of those children. This indicates that he took time individually for them. No matter who they were, no matter where they came from, no matter how insignificant they may have seemed to the disciples, Jesus cared about them and took time for them. Now think about that for a moment. He cares about you. He loves and is concerned about every single area of your life. He won't turn you away. Did he turn these children away that we read about? No. He said, come. No matter what path you are on in life, he says, come. No matter what you've done in the past, he says, come. He cares about you. He'll take time for you. He'll touch your life, and he'll change your life. And he could do that today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I appreciate your attentiveness to listen to the message today. But now we come to the most important part of our program today. This is response time. This is the time where you get to respond to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You may be here today and you're a Christian. I praise the Lord for that. But you may be here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can. You can have that today. Let me ask you this question. If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? The answer is one of two places, heaven or hell. If you're going to heaven, praise the Lord. You pray with me right now. If you don't know that you'd go to heaven, you can know before you leave this place. You can know by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive you of your sins. In fact, if you'd like to do that right now, would you just pray this prayer in your spirit? You don't have to pray it out loud. I'm going to lead you in this prayer, but you just pray it within your heart. Pray it to God. Just say, Lord Jesus, I don't know all there is to know about what this preacher's talking about today, but I know I'm a sinner. And God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. And Father, I ask you to forgive me of those sins. I confess them to you and I ask you to forgive me of these sins. And Lord Jesus, right now I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to save me, to rescue me from eternal damnation, from spiritual death. And I ask you to do that right now. And I thank you for doing that. Now, still with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you prayed that prayer just then for the very first time and you really meant what you prayed, would you just open your eyes and look right here at me? If you prayed that prayer today, anybody? Okay. Someone else? Anyone else? Okay. It's two, three, four. Anyone else on this side? Five. Am I missing anybody? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to sing you out. Anyone here? Anyone else? Father, I want to thank you for the ones who have prayed and ask you to forgive them of their sins today. I rejoice at their decision, their prayer today. And in just a moment, we're going to have what we call a hymn of invitation. If you'd be willing to come and just take me by the hand and say, I prayed, I'd love to be able to pray with you and rejoice with you, and we'll share some other information at another time with you about your next step as far as a Christian is concerned. But right now we're going to stand. If you'd stand with us and you prayed that prayer today, would you just boldly step out and just take me by the hand and say, I prayed? Everyone stand. Everyone in the building, stand this morning, okay? Shane, would you lead us?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
We need to take care of, Scott, if you're here, you're going to come forward for that. Those of you who prayed and invited Jesus into your heart today, that's the greatest decision you will ever make in life. I'm going to be at the back here when service is dismissed, and just come by and shake my hand and let me know that you were one of those, okay? Scott, you want to come?
Time, I would like to say thank you to all of our visitors today, and we will end our service now and allow you all to get your children, and it was great to have each and every one of you with us today. We're going to call ourselves into a business meeting. We'll give all of the nursery workers a few minutes to get back in here for our business meeting. But at this time, let's pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord, and we just ask you to bless each and every person that's here. Father, we ask that you would have your way in each of their lives. And Father, we are so thankful for the young children that have come this morning and sung gloriously to you. Father, please be with us as we continue today through our business meeting. All of this we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.